Yeah, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. All right. Yeah, I want to begin here, I think. Yeah, it says Joshua 1:8. It says, and remember, I'm going to read this out of a study Bible, so it may be a little different than what you're reading. This book of law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Now, I want to take a couple minutes on this scripture. We've used it a lot of times. We'll go to this scripture when we're teaching faith or whatnot. Even in our discipleship class, I use it to teach on what it is to meditate on the Word of God. But there's a couple things I want us to share with you. I feel like I should be like sitting down, just to be real informal. No, I'm good. Look what it says there again in verse 8, and we're going to pause a couple ways through. This book of law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. We'll stop there for the moment. Meditate day and night on the Word of God. And in other words, if we look at that scripture, to meditate, and then it says even to really speak it aloud to yourself. But one of the definitions that I've used, and some of you have heard me say it so many times, you probably already know what I'm going to say. One of the definitions for meditate means to chew the cud, like a cow. All right, how a cow eats, and the way a cow eats, if you've never heard, is they chew it, they swallow it, they regurgitate it, and then they swallow it again. It's gross, it's nasty, but that's really what meditate means. All right, to really savor it, to get all everything out of it that you can. All right, so to meditate or to chew on the cud. That is what it really means to meditate. So watch that. So it says, but you shall meditate, all right, savor it, get everything out of it that you can, day and night, that you may observe. Now, look what it says, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. The word observe really means, and the reason I wanted to take some time with this as we start tonight is, when it says the word observe, it means now you see. So what Scripture is really saying to you is, he said, it wants you and I to meditate and to have the Word of God in our minds all the time, savor it, get everything out of it that we can. He says that you may observe, or in other words, as you meditate, now you will see, watch this, according to all that is written therein. For then, as you meditate and you see, he will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Just get everything out of that, because there's some revelation there that I don't want you to miss, that you meditate on it. Meaning, when you and I are struggling, since we're talking about faith, if you and I are struggling with faith, you know, I need to meditate on the Word of God. The Bible says that His Word shall not return to Him void. So in other words, when God's Word, any scripture that you and I can pull out, any promise of God that we can pull out of the Bible, it was a word that was spoken out over you and I. And so the way that I want you to look at it is, God's word is spoken out, and it does not go back to Him until it accomplishes what it was sent. All right. So if there's things in our life that we haven't seen manifested yet, it's like that word is buzzing around like an annoying fly, trying to accomplish in your life what it needs to, all right, before that word can go back to God. Does that make sense? Am I making sense? All right. So you and I just need to then, what we must understand is that this is where our faith comes in. This is where He says you and I need to meditate on the Word. He said, in order for my Word to not, and it won't return to me void. He said, in order for my Word to be accomplished, He's saying you need to meditate on the Word so that you can develop the faith to believe for it. So if we're struggling to believe for a healing or finances or whatever, and I know after I shared everything on Sunday, there were some people, I heard, it was like 95% of everybody's in favor, the rest I don't care. They'll get on board or not, you know, I mean, that's just how I feel about it. And so, because it's happening fast already, you wouldn't believe the list of people who have already contacted us from the area that are on board. And so favor's already all around it. Once we just shifted gears just a little bit in God's timing, it's funny. Actually, I'll share a little word of testimony to you. In 2017, when we acquired the building, it was exactly yesterday to the day that we did a video that we posted on social media. And I didn't share it publicly because I didn't want anything else out there before what we're doing. But we did a video years ago doing like a tour of the school and what different parts were going to be. And it was exactly, let's see. Yeah, so it was like 4 years ago today and this month that we acquired the building and that we initially had vision for it. And now God's waited all this time to allow everything to line up for it. Now, there's been times where I've doubted in anger. I've said all kinds of things. I'm going to burn it to the ground. I'm going to do all sorts of things. I'm not kidding you. And there have been a lot of times I've said that. I've gotten fights with the local authorities over there, knockdown dragouts. You know, we've had difficulties, arguments, because of the things that they've done to us. And so there's been moments with lack of faith, truly. But it was every time that God brought us back to the Word, and I'm going to show you something here tonight that will help you if you think that's a big ask from God. I'm going to show you in the Word how God said it's not a big ask. The difference between you and I having good success according to this word and us not is our faith. That's it. It has nothing to do with opportunity, education, anything. Those are all great and nice. But I know a lot of people who have dropped out of middle school and that are really rich. Right? It has to do with our ability to believe. And so that's the one thing, that's the reason I wanted to start with this series before I told you the news on Sunday was to start stirring our faith so that we can believe God for this. I've believed God for a lot of things, all right, over the years. Brandon, I think, was with me whenever we believed God for the roof. And, I mean, that church thought I was nuts. The whole church, there wasn't much faith, I'll just be honest. There was a lot of religious people. They didn't even understand the move of the Spirit, none of that. When I got up that Sunday and said, I need $50,000 to put a roof on the church, and we're going to believe God for parking lots also, and someone came up after church and wrote us a check for $35,000. You know, you and I have to have the faith to believe God for it. Money comes in odd, strange ways. And what I found out later is they took it out of his retirement account. Because he believed God that much. He said, I've got more than enough in there. You know, they were believing God. And so you and I have got to stretch our faith and believe God. How are we going to do that? By meditating on the Word. And when you meditate, look what he says, that you may observe. In other words, now you see. How you're going to be able to see what we're believing God for is meditation on the Word. All right. Believing that what God says he means for you. All right. Because God is not, the Bible says that he is not a man that he should lie. So whatever he says, he will do. All right. The only reason that we don't see God do what often he says, the only part of that equation that fails is you and I and our faith. That is it. So whatever it is that we're not seeing in our life manifest that should be, it always comes back to us. And that's always hard to accept because none of us like to admit that we're wrong. Come on, somebody. Come on. I don't like to. I will. But I don't like to. All right? No. And so for you and I to believe, we want to blame it on the devil, especially in the church. We're good at blaming on the devil or, you know, whatever, all kinds of other circumstances or whatever. But the truth of the matter, if it's in God's word and it hasn't shown up in my life yet, the what is wrong is me. So I've got to fix that. Let me stretch it this way. I believe that in these times, there's people preaching a lot of things right now, and preach what you will. But I believe the one thing that we need right now for you and I as people of faith more than anything else, yeah, we need to understand in times and we need to know the Word of God frontwards and backwards. But I think the one thing that we need for right now and all that's going on is faith. Because if we don't have faith, then we're not going to believe that God's going to get us out of whatever we're facing. If we don't have faith, then we'll believe what CNN says or ABC. If we don't have faith, we'll believe whatever's on social media, and we'll believe that that's truth and that God's word is a lie. And there's a lot of people in churches that they wouldn't sit there and admit it, but that they don't believe that it's all true. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people who believe that there's things of the word that they can just, you know, we can just gloss over. And so we've got to have faith more than anything else right now, I believe, in this time that we're in. So that we may observe, so that now we see. All right, so that now we see. So now we have the revelation that's needed. 1 Corinthians 4:13, I'll just read it real quick, says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written." We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. All right, it's referring to Psalms 116, really. And meaning there is having a spirit of faith, and then there's trying to believe, and there's a difference. That's why last week when I began, I talked to you a little bit about the gift of faith. You know, that we there's having that ability to just believe for it, believe for the extraordinary. And then there's trying to believe for it. Trying to believe God for something is not a spirit of faith. All right? There's a big difference. All right? Trying to believe for it is not a spirit of faith. It's separate. All right? Paul is someone in Scripture. I can't talk tonight. Paul is someone in Scripture that had a spirit of faith. All right? You don't find anywhere in Scripture. You never heard Paul giving a bad report or speaking an evil report about anything. All right, Paul was a man with a spirit of faith. All right, you never heard Jesus complaining either. He operated in faith. All right, that's important for you and I. You'll never find. Here's how you'll know someone has a spirit of faith: is they're never gloom and doom. Now, I know we all have bad days. I'm not talking about it's a bad day. I'm talking about gloom and doom. You know those people that they can suck the life out of you? Because, you know, it can be a beautiful 70-degree perfect day, and it's not good enough, right? They could have whatever blessing they have, and there's always going to be something wrong. It's doom and gloom. I stay away from people like that. I keep a distance from people like that. No, I can love them from a distance because it's bad for me and my spirit. It just takes me to a dark place. And so you need to watch out for that. Gloom and doom is not a spirit of faith. All right? And so anybody that's like that, it's hard for you and I to encourage them, actually. It's hard for you and I to even speak the word to them. And the reason is because they have a hard time receiving truth. All right? And what I've learned about that is that it's usually more spiritual than anything behind that. Gloom and doom isn't just something. Gloom and doom is more of a spirit, a demonic spirit at work that needs to be addressed, that's causing them to doubt the word of God. All right? I don't want to get off on a sidetrack. My point is Philippians 4, verse 8. You've heard us say it. It's popular scripture that we all know. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's any praise, think on these things." All right? These are the things that God wants us to think on. This is how we are able to stay in faith. God's saying, hey, don't focus on the gloom and doom. Don't focus on everything that's wrong. He's saying, I want you to focus on what's true, what's honest, what's just, what's pure, what's lovely, what's of good report, what's virtuous, right? And if there's anything to give him praise, think on those things. That's going to enable you. And it's not that we're ignoring what's wrong. So pay attention. It's not that we're ignoring what's wrong at all. It's just that faith doesn't deny facts. It just changes them. All right? So it's not that you're denying what a doctor says, or it's not that you're denying that your checkbook might say -$2 and something, right? That it's a fact, all right? But faith changes it, all right? And so that's what God's word is saying in Philippians. He said, I want you to think on these things. He said, if you think on these things, you'll see it differently. That's what Joshua 1:8 was saying. If you'll meditate on these and you'll think on my word, you'll begin to see it differently, all right? There's times we'll go through a situation, something will happen to our life, and we'll in the moment we'll think it's not so good. Later, after we've come through it, we'll realize, man, that was the protection of God. He was protecting me. He was guarding me. He was guiding me, right? He was keeping me. I thank God that I was running late, right, or whatever. The other night, there was an accident happened down the road from our house, Brandon, and the lady was killed. I mean, right down from my house and on Morgantown Street, and I had just come through there 5 minutes before. And I got really hung up at the store, and I was irritated, right? And I realized that, you know, part of that God's delay, I often believe, is his protection. He's saying, you know, there is something you're not seeing. And so we get antsy and we get frustrated. You and I need to really understand that God is, he is for us, he's not against us. And we've got to have faith to believe him for everything that he puts in our path. All things, right? Whether it's our marriage or finances or whatever it may be, our health, our joy, right? There's some people that have a hard time just having faith to be happy. I mean, think about this. Not everybody is always happy. I am not always happy. You might see me on my good days, and sometimes we just all have to put on a face, right? Sometimes we're just pretending. The truth of the matter is there's times, you know, I wasn't feeling it today. I wanted to come to church tonight, like, you know, I was tired. My back has been killing me all day. I just thought, Lord Jesus, right? And so you just push on, right? You push through. And so there's times we have to put a face on. And yet, one of the areas we struggle with is the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the reason we often don't operate in strength, I'm going to get ahead of myself if I don't quit. The reason we don't often feel strong is because we lack joy. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Why is that so important to us? There have been times we've been in services where the joy of the Lord breaks out and people just start laughing all over the place. Maybe you've experienced it. Maybe you've never seen it. It's weird. It's like, what is wrong with these people? And I'm just preaching and they're laughing. Not at me, but the Lord is doing something in them. And it's extraordinary in that the reason that most of us lack joy, and I mean, you may not have anything. I'm not talking about having joy because you have money or a nice car. None of that, no. Joy, regardless of your circumstance. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the reason most of us don't have joy is because we haven't learned how to stay in faith. And the reason we can't stay in faith, follow me, is because of where our mind goes. We don't have the ability to have faith because of the condition of our mind, right? Our mind thinks the worst, right? It immediately goes to the worst place. I can't be the only one that does that at times, right? You know, and so you see a number show up on your caller ID and you're just, oh God, you know, or whatever it may be, just one bill can send you over the edge. I used to be like that. I mean, one wrong bill, Brother Frank, come in the mail and I'm just like, Lord Jesus, you know, that's it. I quit. I'm going to declare bankruptcy, you know, whatever it may be, you know, until you get the word in you. And then you use the word to speak to things and you begin to watch what God will do. All right. And so the reason that how some of you are going to really tap into joy and being able to enjoy life, no matter who's your friend and who's against you, no matter the condition of our family situations or marriages or all of that, is being in faith. But beyond that, through your faith, being able then to control where your mind goes. Remember, I've said over and over again, where the mind goes, the man goes. You have to cast down every thought, the Bible says, and bring it in accordance to his word. So if it's a thought that doesn't line up with what the Bible says, this is why, going back to Joshua 1:8, where we started, that you and I need to meditate on the word day and night, that we may observe, now you see, right? That you may observe, and he says that he will bring about good success in your life. So God says, I need you to meditate on what I said. Why? Because what he says goes, right? Right. Growing up, my dad was always good for saying, he would tell me to do something. I'd be like, why? And he'd say, because I said so. Well, that's not an answer, right? A lot of us grew up that way. We were just old fashioned. We grew up on a farm, you know. It was just like, because I said so, I'm going to put my foot, you know. That's what he would say. And so as my kids were getting older, they would say, well, why? And I remember telling my son was clever and smart mouthed. And I said, because I said so. He said, but why? And he's like crouching on the floor, you know, like trying to run from me. And I realized in that moment, when I said, because I said so. The Lord just quickened me and told me, no, teaching. And I ended up being able to teach my son a great lesson about the Word of God. And if you ask him today, he'll tell you. He'll tell you why, when your dad or God tells you something, why you receive it. And so I remember that ended up teaching a good thing to my kids. Brooke probably remembers it more than Dakota, just about the Word and how to receive it. And that when, like, what I've learned is that when my father calls and says something to me, like, ask something of me or whatever, I used to be like, oh, but I learned to receive it as a blessing. Right? Not because I said so, but I learned that God's instruction is blessing. Instruction from an earthly father is a blessing. Right? It's how to live in the right place. Right? There's some other stuff there. I don't want to go there because then I'll get off track. Are you still with me? All right. Bible says Hebrews 11:1. We know that as soon as we think of faith, we think of Hebrews 11 probably, because it says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All right. So what does faith have to do with? The future and the unseen. What I shared with the church Sunday has to do with the future and the unseen. You can look at the shell of a building and see it needs this, it needs that, it needs this. God says, now faith is the substance of what you're going to hope for. The thing of it is I don't need faith to believe God if I have it in my checkbook. That's not faith. I know it's there, right? If you have the money in the bank, you don't have to have faith to write the check. Hallelujah. Now, some of us have had to write those checks from time to time. Lord, I just thank you that these checks are going to clear in Jesus' name. And the money's going to be there when it does. I'm just being honest. I've lived like that, you know. I know what that is. Oh, Lord, poor Roscoe. Yeah, we've been there. I've been there at times. I've taken ministries through times of faith. You know, I challenged our church years ago, probably 7 years ago, Lois, you might have to help me. When Michael Rowan was in, we gave him every dime the church had. Friend of the ministry, and I knew what they were up against. And I knew they were thousands of dollars from meeting their goal. And our church was not big, and our church is not a rich church. But I knew that the Lord had spoke to my heart, and I said, God. And, you know, God, out of us sowing that seed, and it wasn't, at the time, it was like a couple thousand dollars. $3,000, a couple thousand dollars. That sounds like a lot to some people. I've gone to preach places, and, you know, I've preached in Florida and gotten $5,000, $10,000 out of an offering. I need to get on the road again. Western Pennsylvania, you don't make that preaching. I'm not saying preachers need to make that. What I'm saying is we sowed that seed and God blessed. God blessed our church over and over. I showed you Sunday how all the ways that God blessed and then some. All right, because we're giver and we'll listen, right? Faith has to do with what you cannot see. It has to do with the future. All right. Faith, let me explain it this way. Faith knows what is going to happen before it happens. This is why faith is really important. If you've often heard the cliche, I call it Christianese, that we say, if God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. In other words, faith knows what's going to happen before it happens. If God brings you to it, it's God saying, I need you to believe me for this. All right? I need you to believe me for this. And then watch what he will do. All right? I'm telling you. I just encourage you and challenge you to start, I said it last week, start believing God for things that you've never believed him for, all right? Start believing him, you know, for the unexpected, for other things, you know, and just watch what he will do. Hallelujah. We've got to be able to stay in faith and watch this and continue to believe that you have received it. And don't let the devil steal your blessing. Because the spirit of faith says, I have it. Now, I know that's hard for some of us. Growing up, I'll say it anyway. Growing up, my parents were in ministry, and my dad worked a secular job also. He was bivocational. And we didn't always have very much. And growing up, I sort of grew up that way. Our family was like that, but my grandparents and that, they were really wealthy, and, you know, it was just like I endured both worlds. But what I realized as I got older, that there was like almost a spirit of poverty on my life, that I believed a certain way, that God wanted me to live this way and do without and all of this, until I got a hold of what the Bible says about faith. Faith says I already have it, whatever that is, health, right, happiness, joy, peace, right? So when the enemy comes in to disrupt my peace or my joy or to attack in any way, physically or whatever, faith says I have it, right? So whenever I was feeling like, oh, God, I'm hurting so bad, I don't know, earlier today, I just had to say, Lord, I'm going to teach on faith. And faith says I have it. So no matter how I might feel, I'm going to walk in faith, right? And because faith says I have it. And what the enemy comes to do is, the enemy comes, exactly what I said, to steal our blessing, to steal, what is the blessing? Your ability to receive and have your faith increased. And so a lot of times it's easier to go negative. It's easier to believe and think that poverty is it, or it's easier to believe in sickness than it is healing, right? Because we know what it is. We're familiar with sickness. A lot of us are familiar with things not working out for us, right? A lot of us, we're just familiar. It's like when we use the phrase, when it rains, it pours, right? If it weren't for, what's that other one? If it weren't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. And we say things like that, and yet that's what we're believing for. We end up waking up and believing, well, if it ain't for bad luck, I wouldn't have luck at all. And what you're not realizing is what you're speaking, that is what you believe. Right? It is. And so when we then come to God in prayer, and we're trying to pray for whether it's those needs there or something else in our life or that school building, God's just like, well, you believe more in your bad luck than you do me. What are you talking to me for? Right? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why whatever I talk about the most is what I believe. So if you're not sure what kind of faith you have, what do you talk about the most? If you talk about what you don't have, what you don't like, what's not going right, that's what you believe in most. So then where do you have to begin? Renewing your mind, getting your mind, getting your thinking right, right? And having the faith for it. Saying, God, that's where you need to start. Lord, I need to have faith to believe my mind's going to change. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to have the spirit of faith. Start saying that. The minute your mind starts going negative, just say, Lord, I thank you that I do have the spirit of faith. And I do have it. Right. You got to, when you walked in that school, some of you go Friday and walk through the school and say, oh, we do have it. Right. When I said earlier that already in pennies and coins and stuff, to have $900 probably by the time you're done, I already have that in 2 weeks. Why? Because I have I said when we launched that goofy toilet, I have it. Right? I can have faith for it. That's easy. Right? That's nothing. If God has the money to build a toilet, don't you think God has the money to build several toilets over there? Right? That's the God that we serve. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever shall you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, and you shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he says. That's familiar to us. It means that you and I have the ability to believe God and call those things that are not as though they were. Meaning, if there's something in our that is in God's word that he promises you and I that we haven't seen yet, God says, you believe for it, and you speak it, and it'll come to pass. That's why he says you can have just faith the size of a mustard seed, and you have the ability to speak to a mountain. and tell it to be removed. Right? I can have faith. I'm one of these. I can have faith to believe God for your healing. And when I pray for people to get healed, they get healed. Right? And I'm still waiting on mine. I don't understand it. I don't know why. But I can believe God for your healing. Right? But it doesn't stop me from believing God and His Word that I can speak to a mountain and that it'll be removed. All right? Now, hallelujah. Turn to Romans 5. I want to read this out of the Amplified Bible, so I'm going to read it a different version. Romans chapter 5. Yeah, we're just going to read 1 through 5. All right. Romans 5, 1 through 5. And so I'm going to read the Amplified, so it's going to sound a little different than what you might be reading. But I want to read it because of how it breaks it down for us. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith. I like that. We're acquitted. Let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold on and to enjoy. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Verse 2, through Him also we have our access, entrance, and introduction by faith into His grace, the state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand. And let us rejoice and exalt in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Look at that right there, verse 3. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving endurance. In endurance, fortitude develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Verse 5, such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out on our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. All right. I wanted to read that because it's a little different, but I wanted to read that everything about our Christian walk comes from a place of faith. Even how it begins, we've been justified by faith, acquitted, all of these things, however we'd want to define it, by faith. Everything about our walk with God has to do with faith. So, and the way it lays it out in Romans 5 there is, if your faith isn't increasing, then your faith is decreasing. If our faith is not increasing and growing, then it will decrease. All right? The Bible says in Thessalonians that we are bound to thank God always. All right? And then it goes on to say, in 1 Thessalonians 1, 3, because that your faith grows exceedingly. So if it's not growing, then it's decreasing. Right? Which will cause us to be living in, you know, difficult times where simple things throw us off track. Simple things get on our nerves and cause us to lose faith, all right? So you've heard us say and preach that God is no respecter of persons. That's true. God doesn't like me better than you. I'm grateful for that, right? That means on my bad days that He doesn't, like, not listen to me. He is no respecter of persons. But He is a respecter of faith. God is looking for faith. He's looking for it. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says that faith pleases God. In fact, it says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So while He's not looking, and He doesn't look and say, well, Vanessa's better than me. No, God doesn't look at us that way. God does look at Vanessa's faith. God does look at my faith. That's what He's looking for. When you and I are praying and living our life, God is a respecter of faith, not people. God doesn't care the color of our skin. God doesn't care about any of that. He is looking only and solely for faith. In other words, to really define faith for me, the greatest and the most simple definition I've ever been able to just give it, and people give it a lot of things, is simply, I believe God meant what he said. That's what faith is to me. I believe God meant what he said. Right? That's what faith is. That's all that it is. It's, I believe God meant what he said. And so when God speaks to you and I believe God meant what he said. It's the easiest way to hang on to the word of God. There's stuff I'm not going to get to tonight, but that's okay. Look at Hebrews 10:23. Lois, what version do you have? Okay, just read one of them. Hebrews 10:23. All right. A lot of your translations probably begins by saying, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. All right. Let us hold fast. Now, we got to hold fast. If we would look back in Numbers, and we're not going to do that because of time, but Numbers chapter 23 says that God is not man. I quoted it earlier. God is not man that he should lie. Right? Neither is the Son of Man that he should repent. And the reason I have quoted that scripture a few times last week and this week is because there's three things out of that we can't miss before we really look at Hebrews. And that's one, that God is faithful. Because God is not man, he is faithful. And we can't ever forget that. People will always let us down and disappoint us and abandon us and judge us, but God is faithful, period. The second thing that scripture is that's important is that God cannot lie. He cannot. All right. He will not. And the third thing is that God cannot fail. So the reason that you and I, it should be easier for you and I to have faith is if we would just get Numbers 23 in our heart, that he is not a man that he should lie, meaning that he is the one person in our life that is faithful. He cannot lie to me, and he cannot fail me. So if you and I would just get a hold of that, if you don't get a hold of anything else, if you can just start living your life and saying, hey, God, I'm struggling, but I know that you are faithful, I know that you cannot lie, and I know that you cannot fail. That'll help you to begin to believe God for whatever it is that we often are struggling with. If we're just struggling to get through the day, say, just tell yourself, Lord, I thank you that you're faithful, that you cannot lie, and that you will not fail. That'll get you through, all right? That'll begin to help you to believe the word of God for yourself. Now, to Hebrews, what she just read, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. I wanted to use that because when it says let us hold fast, it literally means fastened. When he says let us hold fast the profession of our faith, it means that we should literally be fastened, all right? Fastened. In other words, I'm not coming apart from the word of God. I'm not coming apart from what he said, all right? In other words, me and what God's word says are stuck together. You ever put super glue on something and then you stick your own fingers together? I've done that. That's exactly what it is for you and I to believe the word of God, stuck like that. Right? The same way you and I use super glue and we get our two fingers stuck together, God's saying, I want you and my word to be like that, stuck like glue, fastened. That's how he wants you and I to believe. Think about that. So that when he says, I want you to have joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Lord, I thank you that I have joy. Why can I believe that I deserve joy? Well, because God's faithful, because he cannot lie, and because he will not fail me. Right? And you'll begin to see that what begins to happen is God will begin to transform your mind. He'll begin to show you that, yeah, you got people that turned against you. But what you'll find is that you're going to have a peace in it anyway. I've had people turn against me. I got enemies. You know, not everybody likes me. Can you believe that, Diana? Not everybody likes me. But the thing I've learned is I can have peace in it. Don't matter who it is. I've had best friends betray me. Right? We all have. We've had family do things to us, right? And yet you can maintain a peace in it. Why? Because, I mean, I've had people, the godly people, supposed to, say things. And the reason it don't even bother me anymore is because God is faithful, God cannot lie, and he cannot fail. So I don't even pay it any mind. Why don't I? Because at the end of the day, he's God, I'm not, he'll deal with it, and I don't need to. Because we have to believe in his word above all else. Why? Because I'm fastened to his word. If you're fastened to his word, it doesn't matter what they say, she said, he said, or the enemy says. Your foundation is the word. All right? When the Bible says, let the poor say I am rich, let the weak say I am strong, right? You're fastened to his word. Right? I don't live my life, hear me, I don't live my life by my checkbook. Hear me, I'm not saying I go spend money I don't have. I'm saying I speak life to it all the time. All the time. All the time. I speak life over our church finances. For years I have. What enables this ministry to do what no other church in town can do, and that's the truth. There's no other church that has the line of food like we do and does the outreach to the volume that we do. There just isn't. Between 2020 and 2021, we fed over 80,000 people. In like 18 months, that is beyond. And the reason is because we have the ability to call those things that are not as though they were. We're fastened, all right? It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised, all right? So in other words, I am not coming apart from the word of God. What the Bible says in John 10 and 10, part of me wants to preach, but I'm not going to preach. I'm going to keep teaching. The Bible says in John 10 and 10 that the thief, the devil, right, he comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I, Jesus, have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, right? That's what the word says. We're not coming apart from the word of God. We need to be stuck to it. What the enemy comes to do when it says he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy is to separate you from the word. Anytime our thoughts are contrary to the word of God, you have to identify that. That is the enemy coming to steal, kill, and to destroy from you. Period. And he'll do it through your own mind. Right? He'll do it by discouraging you. Right? Sometimes it'll take a text message or a phone call or something on the news just to get your mind off. Instantly, when the enemy comes to do anything that to steal, kill, or destroy, it's to separate you from the word of God. It's to get you to doubt God's word, doubt to believe that it's true, to keep you from being fastened to it. Yeah, yeah. The reason that confession, if you notice in your bulletin in the month, there's often prayer confessions in there. And not everybody has caught on that what those prayer confessions are is I take scripture and put it into prayer confessions, so that as you read them out over yourself, you're speaking the word. All right. The reason that's important is because the word literally, the word confession, what it means is to speak the same as. The point of those is to get you to speak the same as God over your life. To get you to pray the same as what God's word says about you. Right? That's why confession is important. That will enable you to begin to, when you're having a bad day and Lois is driving you crazy, David, to begin to speak the same as God. Now think about that. You know, God wants you and I to be able to speak the same. Instead of me, when the ladies in the office through the week sometimes irritate me and get on my nerves or try my patience, right? Sometimes my your natural person, you know, my flesh wants to snap, say something mean, right? Right? What we must do, and I'm telling you, for all of our sakes, for people in your family, your spouse, what you need to learn to do is speak the same as God's word. So the next time Lois yells at you, David, and says something that is not the word of God, think about this. The next time our kids disrespect us or not honor us, speak the word over them. Not necessarily to their face. When you turn your back and you would normally say, you stupid, you know, whatever. Instead, just speak the word. Say, Lord, I call them blessed. Right? In highly favored. Watch what God will do. Doesn't matter what they did to you. Right? No. I'm telling you, because it allows you to keep yourself in a position of faith that you're going to believe God. You're not going to believe what they say. Because, see, I've had things with my kids. It's no secret. My oldest daughter is a challenge. Right? She hasn't always loved her daddy. Right? There's been difficult times with her and I. Our relationship is still very rocky. Right? Now, what I continue to do, I'll never forget the night, Brandon, you probably remember the night she left my house. It broke my heart. She left on foot and left my home, and there wasn't anything I could do about it because she was too old to call the cops on. And it just devastated me, all that happened that night. And it took time, years, to start building our relationship to a point that it's better, it's not perfect. But one of the first things I will never forget I said to her, she was angry. And she had thrown something or whatever at me. I think it was. She was angry. She was hot because I grounded her. And anyway, she was walking out across my back patio and back through the yard. And she was upset. And I remember looking at her and I said, Brooke. She turned around and looked. She goes, what? And I said, don't you ever forget who you are. And she goes, what? I said, don't you forget who you are and who I raised you to be. And she left that night. I knew she was annoyed by me reminding her of that. But she left that night, and ever since then, I would pray over her. Pray over the word. Keep her name like on our wall of prayer. Call her name out. There were people in my life, confidants, that knew the situation in detail. And they would be praying for her even when she didn't know it. People would visit her at her place of work, and she just thought they went in to eat. And they were... came in, you know, but they really went on assignment to pray in her workplace, to draw her in, you know. They were speaking the word over her life, even when she didn't know it and she didn't want it. While she was living it up and not living for God, we were still speaking the word of God over her life. My point is, if you'll continue to do that and operate in faith, God blesses that. And change will come, and change has come. It's taken time. It's taken dedication. But change will come. So it don't matter how old they are. You just speak the word of God over them, right? Speak the word over them. Somebody was going to say something. Is that you? Amen. 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 Sorry, I was just looking at time, and there's so much to faith. There's depth that I want to get to, and we're not going to get there tonight because of time, but I want to share two things with you, and then I'll stop. There's a powerful section of Scripture in Mark chapter 6. Mark 6. Turn there, and then that's probably the last scripture we'll look at, and I'll show you this. Mark 6. Let me turn. Let's see, Mark. Mark chapter 6, and we're just going to look at the first six verses. Mark 6. And, yeah, verses 1 through 6, there's the sun. Wow. Praise God. Look at what it says. It says, then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him? And such mighty works are performed by his hands. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. In other words, don't be surprised when the people that know you the best or where you're from turn against you. Now he could do, look at this, he could do no mighty work there in his own home. Right where he grew up, he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. But then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. He went on teaching. I wanted to share that portion of scripture with you because there's so many good principles out of that. And when I teach leadership in Fivefold Ministers, about leadership, I always use this because we think some of our greatest support will always come from our inner circle. No. Your greatest trouble will always come from your inner circle. Always. It'll be your family, your close friends, all of those people that know you the best that'll cause you the most trouble. But I choose this tonight about faith because if faith was dynamite, all right? Jesus said that he could do no great works there because of their unbelief. And if faith was dynamite, then there wasn't enough faith. There wasn't enough faith in Nazareth, according to the Word of God, for them to even blow their own noses. Because Jesus wasn't able to do anything there because they didn't believe, right? And the Bible says that he ends up leaving there after just a few miracles and going about other places teaching. The reason that Jesus spent so much time teaching, Jesus taught way more than you'll see miracles. The reason is because it's the teaching that enables the ability to see. That's why, remember, Joshua 1:8 in the beginning says that he wants you and I to meditate on the word day and night so that you may observe, or now you see. Jesus kept teaching them the word to get them to think differently. So that now they could see, or now that they could believe, all right? So he wasn't able to work in his own, in the own city of Nazareth, but he goes on other places teaching so that they would have the ability to see, all right? Jesus spent so much time teaching. The reason we have so much of the teaching of Jesus, and it's so important for you and I, is because he wanted to increase their faith so that he could raise their give them the ability to receive what he had. The reason why times like this of just teaching the word is important, we don't want to get bored with it because it allows you to receive from God. It's going to increase your faith. It's great to be in service and the preachers preaching hard and hacking and all that. That's fun, right? But if we don't have teaching, you're never increasing to be able to receive. That's why Jesus spent so much time teaching, all right? He went around teaching the word of God to build faith, to build faith. That's what it's for. He's saying, I want to build their faith so they can believe to receive it. In order to receive what God's word says, we have to be able to believe for it. And that's where teaching comes in. Now, I said I'd share two things. That was one. The other one I want to share with you is, remember back several weeks ago, and we'll stop here and I'll pick up right with this next time. Several weeks ago, we did a long series on the Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. What else we got to preach? Right there is where you need to begin with faith. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. He is such a good shepherd and such a good father for you and I that he doesn't want you and I to have to want for anything. He wants you to believe him for it. One of the things that's one of the things that I believe is unique about our ministry is God's challenged us and stretched our faith as a church and as a people. And some of the very people here can testify of how God's stretched their faith, grown them to believe him for things, right? It's teaching us who he is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's what you and I have to confess, is that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When something goes wrong physically, emotionally, mentally, relationally, doesn't matter. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because he's my shepherd, I'm not alone. I don't care who rejects us, who abandons us, who isn't there for us. The Lord is my shepherd. He's there. I don't want. Right? He's watching out for me. He's supplying all of my needs. The Bible says he will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Why? Because he is my shepherd. I shall not want. Everything comes back to that. So it doesn't matter what it looks like we have need of over in that building. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What I told God this week, before I talked to you, I talked to several pastors and God, but before I really got my answer from God, several pastors gave me bad advice or no advice at all. I think I was telling you that the other day in the office. I mean, most of my pastor friends said, well, I'm really glad I'm not you. I thought, dude, you're supposed to be a friend. Like, I give you all kind of advice. And they're like, yeah, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. You're just sort of in one of those things, no matter what you do, it could be wrong. I'll pray. That's really all I got. Pastor Donnie, you know, he was supportive. He said, whatever decision you make, this is what he said. He said, whatever decision you make, I'll know it's from God because I know you're a person of faith. And I appreciated that because I was starting to doubt whether I was hearing God or the enemy was, you know, and I thought, now I know. He confirmed to me that I was hearing the voice of God and not a trap of the enemy. Why do I say that? Watch this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You and I have got to be very aware, and this is something I want you to work on. Be aware of what you're confessing. Remember I said earlier, whatever you're confessing is what you believe. That's why whatever Channel 4 says about breaking news, I don't confess that. Because I'm not going to believe that as truth for my life, right? Whatever the total economic status is for our nation, right? Whatever the Dow Jones is doing or whatever the GDP is, don't care. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Whether they pass a fourth stimulus package, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Why do I say that? I'm not going to confess the newspaper, Channel 4, or anything else, right? Because I'm not going to get up and agree with any of those things, right? I'm not going to get up and start believing, oh, Lord, we're all going to starve, any of those things. Or, oh, God, I'm going to lose my house. Or, oh, God, this is going to happen. Or, I don't know how I'm going to make it. The reason I say that is because of one scripture that so many people just gloss over and don't really think about and own it for themselves. The Bible says that you'll never see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for bread. In other words, you'll never see God's people forsaken or out begging for bread. In other words, what God's desire for the church is you're the welfare for everybody else. The reason that our ministry has been able to do and will continue to do what we're able to do for every community member that needs it, whether it's clothes, food, whatever, the whole purpose of that school And the vision for it comes out of that right there. Let me read it to you again. You'll never see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed, his people, out begging for bread. In other words, the church doesn't need welfare. We are the welfare. Hallelujah. We're going to be the welfare for everybody else. We're going to be there to clothe them and heal them and educate them. Hallelujah. I can't wait, right? Educate them in every possible way that they may need it, right? Because we are the aid. We are the help. That's God's desire. And he says, if you believe me, the Bible says that he, God, owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. That's just one way that he's awesome and that he has prosperity and blessing. God's saying, I own everything. The word also says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Somebody said to me the other day, well, why do you want to do a press conference about the school? And I said, well, when you have a 250,000 square foot building and you need all of this work done, the Bible tells me that the evil or the wicked have the money and I'm supposed to go to them to get the money. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. God told me that they're rich and they're going to give their money to us. That's what his word says, right? So we're going to go before them through the press. Maybe the press is even wicked, right? I mean, in some instances, they're not always good people. And so God's saying, I want you to, look, the reason God allowed you and I to have favor, and I was telling Derek this the other day, the reason God allowed us to have favor with the media, when was the last time the Washington Post was in Uniontown, Pennsylvania covering any story? Why would a D.C. paper come here? Because of the favor of God, that's why. They covered, they put drones in the air and got big aerial footage of this church and the long line for food and all of those things. That was God orchestrating his favor. KDKA was here 3 times. Channel 4 was here 2 or 3 times. On and on and on. Countless newspapers. And now God says, now is the time. You've owned this building for so long. But now's the time. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. In other words, God says, I've shown everybody what you're doing. I've revealed to the masses, right, of your heart and your vision. And so the wealth of the wicked that they have is laid up for the righteous, is laid up for what you need for this time. Are you hearing me? That's why you need to believe God, not just for our church, but for you. For you. All right? Because it's there. It's ours. We just have to make it happen. We're just going to be obedient and watch what God will do. I'm telling you, he's going to blow people's minds. Some of our own congregation, they're going to be, can't believe what God's done, right? Can't believe it. Hallelujah. Somebody prophesied to us several years ago, and then it was confirmed to me a year ago, and I was preaching somewhere, that all that this ministry would be. They said very specifically that our ministry would be like no one else. And that we would own properties and warehouses, and they said that we would have a fleet of vehicles. And I was like, what? What's a fleet of vehicles? Like, but God has begun that anyway with the Escape that we have and the bus and this and that, but box trucks, all of this stuff that we need, and now it all makes sense. As God's unfolding it all, right? And God says it's all available there. The only question is if you will believe him for it. That's it. Will you believe him? All right. Will you believe him? We're going to pick up with faith next time. Hallelujah. Believe him. Start there. All right. Start believing God for those unimaginable things, like we just said. All right. Keep believing him that you'll not see the righteous forsaken or his people begging for bread. Hallelujah. We're going to be there to be the answer for them. Praise God.